Hello there, and welcome to the recording for the Kids in the Way for Sunday the 30th of January. End of the month already. Oh, it's just speeding along this time. So let's play a game. Let's see whether you can work out what bird I am talking about here. Not the easiest ones that I've ever done. So let's kick it off. And today we're starting off with 6 points. 6 possible points. Who would say no? Okay, so for 6 points, this bird loves earthworms. Does that help? I don't think so. For 5 points, this bird sings all year round. For 4 points, every continent has a variety of this bird. For 3 points, this bird sings to show territory and to attract a mate. Very generic so far. Okay, for 2 points, this bird puffs its feathers in winter for insulation. And for 1 point, it has a red breast and face and grey and brown body and feathers. Did you guess which bird I was talking about? If you said a robin, then yes, you are correct. I know I could have added something on there about being put on Christmas cards, but yeah. Anyway, there we are. I've done it now. Okay, so today we are talking about the parable of the wedding banquet. There are two quite similar parables. One is a bit gruesome and the other one is a little bit nicer. Today we're talking about the gruesome one, which we find in Matthew chapter 22 from verse 1. Okay, so I'll just find it. Here we go. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to the servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Right. Okay, so in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 16, we find the other parable of a wedding. Banquet. It's called the parable of the great feast. And in this one, a man first asked Jesus about how great it would be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus tells the story about a man who is having a banquet, and he tells his servants, "Go and tell the guests everything is ready." And then one makes an excuse, "I'm going to my field and I must inspect it." And someone else says, "I've bought 5 pairs of oxen and I have to try them out." And another one said, "I've just got married, so I can't come." Then he says, "Go out into the streets and the alleys and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame." And then he comes in and he says, "There's still room. And he says, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone that you find to come, because I want the house to be full, and none of those that I had first invited will get a small taste of my banquet. So you can see that other one in Luke doesn't have any blood and gore. It doesn't have all of this killing of the servants in the middle bit. And it doesn't have horrible punishment for the people that refused the invitation. But this one does. This one has got the middle bit of saying that the servants were killed by the invited guests who still refused to come to the wedding. So sometimes, and I think it's happening more and more, it's happened to me at least twice, where we were given a save the date invitation, where you would get 6 months to a year's notice of a big event happening, and it'll be save the date for this wedding or party that was going on. In my case, both invitations were for parties. One of them was, they were both for weddings. One of them was my cousin getting married in America. And I was given a year's notice to save that date. Unfortunately, it happened in March. No, it happened in April 2020, and we were already in lockdown. The second one was a colleague who was going to get married in July 2020, and they sent us a save the date so that we would know when the wedding was. For both occasions, I put that date into my diary, and anytime I was planning anything and wanted to write it in my diary, I would see those two dates and know that I could not add any other things to those dates, because I already had an engagement. I already had an invitation that I intended to keep. And that is the case in this story. The people had been given a save the date. They had been told there's going to be a wedding party for his son, and that, you know, that was the only thing they were supposed to have on their calendar. So this guy that comes up with this excuse that, oh, I have a field that I need to go and see. I mean, how urgent is that? The field is not going anywhere. And even though in Jesus's day, weddings would go on maybe for 3 or 5 days, depending on how wealthy the person was, you would still be able to go to the wedding and then come back and see your field after a few days. And the guy that says, I have a business that I need to go to see to urgently now, he knew the date of the wedding before the business arrangement came up. So he shouldn't have planned to be overseeing any business. And if it's a good business, he should have people under him that he could send instead while he was off at the wedding, honoring the invitation. So really rude, I think, after you've been given a save the date, to then not be able to turn up when the invitations are ready. And if you look at how the king has prepared, he said the fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and all the food is ready, and the oxen have been killed, but then people are not turning up. So the king is angry, and I think he has a right to. In my opinion, he has a right to be angry, because none of these excuses are really good one, because they could have done these things, the business and the field watching, at a different time. Different things stop us from accepting Jesus. Jesus's call to salvation. And sometimes we really don't have a good reason not to accept him and not to sort of like take him on at his word. But if you speak to people and you speak to them about how they gave their life to Christ and when, in relation to when they first heard about God, you will find that some of the time it takes people a little bit of time. You know, it's not the first time that they go in to church that they immediately give their lives to Christ.
when I look at all three of my children, I raised them up as Christians right from the get-go. But not all of them gave their lives to Christ as soon as they were aware what was happening. And when I think of my own story, I sort of think, you know, I didn't give my life to Christ the first time I went into church. I was raised up as a Christian, so I went to church pretty much most Sundays. And then after some time, I started to understand more about what was happening. But it was only as an adult, when I was 23, that I would say I gave my life to Christ and I actually knew what I was doing. And even then, it wasn't the first time I had been to that church where I gave my life to the Lord. And I can't say what it was that drew me to make that decision on that day. So sometimes there are different reasons or different things that stop us answering Jesus' call to salvation. So that's not unusual, but sometimes people do feel called right from the get-go. So you need to listen to a few different testimonies to hear how people respond to Jesus's call. Because every time we hear the Christian message, it should be, we should realize that this is Jesus wanting us to get into the kingdom of heaven. So then we get the bit where it says some of the guests killed the messengers. And these are the prophets that God sent to reach out to people. And they killed the prophets and they didn't listen to them. They didn't pay attention to them. And God shows patience by sending other messengers to give them a second chance. But again, they mistreat them and they kill them. So another thing that we have to learn here when we start looking at this guy who the king notices is not proper dressed, is that, well, what is that in our lives? That really, because if we look at all the characteristics in the story, the king is God and the kingdom of heaven. The banquet is the kingdom of heaven, which he has prepared for his son Jesus, because it says he was preparing a wedding feast for his son. The people that were invited initially are the Jews because they were God's chosen people. And then when they refused, all the other sinners and prostitutes are the Gentiles. And it says that it was the good and the bad people. Both good and bad were called to get to the wedding. And then we find there's this guy who comes up and he's not dressed in the proper wedding clothes. Because to get into this wedding, you not only had to be invited, but you were also supposed to be dressed in a specific way. And what could we liken that dressing to? It is the good deeds that people do. So some people think that to get into heaven, all you need are the good deeds. That if you have good deeds and you behave well, then that is enough for you to get into the kingdom of heaven. That is the same as this guy who's come, but he's not properly dressed. So having been good and doing good things have got him the invitation and he's in the wedding. But because he's not properly dressed, he gets kicked out. He's not going to stay long. Because Jesus tells us what we need to do to get into the kingdom of heaven. We need true repentance from our sins. And we need faith in Jesus Christ as the way for us to get into heaven. We also need to be committed to love and to obey our Lord and Savior. And the evidence of that is our faith in him and doing things the way Jesus did. And that was the difficult thing for some people. Some people wanted to get into the kingdom of heaven. They really, truly desired it. But once Jesus started talking to them about how they were supposed to behave, they really struggled with that. Because Jesus said, you should take up your cross and follow me. He said we should love our enemies, and we should, if we have lots of things, if we have one shirt, we should take our shirt off and give it to someone else. We should give all we have to the poor. And he also said that we should, if someone slaps us on one side, we should show mercy and let them slap on the other side. And it was things like this that were really difficult concept for the people to live with, because they had been told that an eye for an eye, if somebody does something wrong to you, then you can pay them back. So they were not used to showing all this love. And Jesus was not militant. He wasn't going out to get everything, even though these were things that people already knew, God had already said, the battle is mine. I will repay. If anybody does anything wrong to you, I will repay. You do not have to fight. I will repay. But now Jesus was actually coming and asking people to put these things into action. So the good deeds were not enough. To get in, you couldn't get into heaven on your own terms. But you needed to have true faith in your heart. And you would be doing the good thing, the good deeds, and treating people right because of your faith in Jesus. So here we can see that, as we said, not all the people who accepted the invitation were allowed to remain, because this man was kicked out. Because people showed, people should care what happens to them after they die. There's some people that sort of say that they don't really care what happens to them, that it doesn't really make any difference whether they go to heaven or hell. But it does. And as Christians, we know there's a heaven, but there is also a hell. And we cannot live our lives ignoring God and expect to get into heaven. Once we have been given that message and we understand it, then we have a responsibility to act in the right way for the right reasons and follow what God wants us to do with our lives. Now, there are no restrictions to the number of people that can get into heaven. Everybody is invited, but some will refuse and some would have wanted to come, but they are not ready to submit to all the things that God requires them to do. And God asks each of us to do something different. And when Jesus first asked people to the Messianic banquet, it was the Jews. But then because they refused, then he turns to the Gentiles. And to him, it didn't really matter what life they had lived before, whether they were tax collectors or sinners or prostitutes. He wanted to give everybody a chance, because in the parable, it says they called all the people, they gathered all the people that they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding banquet was filled with guests. So I'll leave you with a question for your own contemplation. Which group do you belong to? Are you in the group of people that are looking carefully at what they do, staying focused on what God wants us to, how God wants you to live? And are you ready to commit your life in that way? Or are you one of the people who just act as if God does not really exist and God doesn't, it doesn't make any difference? We can see the punishment for people that ignore God's messengers. They were saying that there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that sort of thing only happens where people are really worried and anxious. So we really need to make sure that we are acting in the way that God wants us to do, so that we can be people that get into the kingdom of heaven and stay there. So do stay blessed, and I hope this challenges you to check your life and to make sure you're living right. This was Parable 40, and very soon we'll be having a lovely quiz of all the parables that we have learned. We've got 6 more parables to go. And then we'll have a quiz that you will be able to listen to with younger siblings, because it will ask easy and difficult difficult questions. So take care and speak to you soon. Bye.